So we have Mish is about to, Mish has been a long-term friend. How long have we known you, Mish?
Oh,
last century. 24 years. Wow. That's older than some of you. Well, you. So Mish is going to be coming and speaking a little bit later. Right now, Alistair. Yes, Alistair's going to start. We're going to have a song of worship. And then what we're going to do today, because we never know what we do each week. Well, we do know what we do, but it's different. Today, we're going to have a song of worship, and then Mish is going to come up, and then we're going to have a longer period of worship afterwards. So, change again. Father, thank you for your love for us. Thank you that you accept us and you know each of us here. You know, you made us and you know how we're put together. And you are just loving the fact that we're here today. Every single person in this room is here today. You're loving that. And we welcome you here, Father. And we want to worship you for who you are. And to receive everything you have for us this morning. We bless the children's groups. We thank you for cups of coffee, something to eat. We thank you for your provision. And now we want to just come and worship you now. Shall we stand?
Let's stretch out our hands to pray for Michelle. Yes, Holy Spirit, we ask that you would come. God, let your fire fall down on her and on all of us as we open our hearts to you and what you want to say to us this morning. We're hungry for more of you, Lord. We're hungry to see your kingdom come. We're hungry to be changed by your word and by truth and by your spirit. We don't want to keep anything back from you, Lord. We want our hearts to be open and fully known. So we just choose that now and invite you, Holy Spirit, to speak to us through Michelle. Speak to our hearts, speak to our lives. Holy Spirit, would you give Michelle the words that you have for her today? Would you fill her with your spirit? Thank you for her. Thank you for bringing her here. Thank you that she's part of this family. And we bless you, Michelle, with peace and with joy and with the knowledge of the presence of God around you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Well, it's really nice to be here. Like, it is absolutely great to come back to Bristol. And in fact, when Chris played the little video of Mercy Ships, it's quite an old one now, because there's people in that video who are friends of mine when I first started, and we started together sort of about 5 years ago. And it brought a little tear to my eye, because I was remembering friends that I partnered with. I saw people in that video clip who've moved on. You know, we've journeyed together, and some of them I still work with, but we're in different positions or different roles now. And I absolutely love what I do. But at the same time, I absolutely love coming back here, because I've got so much history here. Like, I do. It's funny that Silas mentioned, you know, how long has he known me? Well, I was at university, and I can remember Silas and Annie coming to Bristol, and it was before Zach was born. And shortly, it wasn't immediately, it was a few years later, but we sort of partnered together in ministry up at Christchurch Clifton. And one of the great things when you come back, and although I've come back to England every year and I've seen friends, I haven't always come to Hope. You know, it didn't always fit with a Sunday or something. But I have heard stories, and even these last few days that I've been here, I've heard from some of the people that I've met just amazing stories of transformation. And just like I feel I'm very privileged to work with this ship, I hope you all know, like, what a privilege it is to be part of this church. because it's an incredible place, like it really is. And depending on where you're at in your journey or what's happening in your life right now, you may feel that more acutely or less acutely. You might be one of those people right now who's in the middle of stories of transformation, and you're seeing where you're rooted in with your worshipping community really making a difference, or you might be just sort of struggling to see how that's actually going to fit in. But the series that you're in the middle of about moving into the promised land, I think is very exciting. It's the story, it's a journey that we're all on. And I don't know if we can put up that first slide, which has got your text that you've been digging into over the last sort of, I guess, couple of months. If we put the next one up, see if we can. I'm going to read that out, just because it's good to start, isn't it, reading the word. So this is the thing that you guys as a church have been digging into and building on this term. So it says, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. In view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence, and moral excellence with knowledge, knowledge with self-control, self-control with patient endurance, and patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But those who fail to develop in this way are short-sighted or blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their old sins. So, dear brothers, work hard to prove that you are really among those God has called and chosen. Do these things and you will never fall away. Then God will give you a grand entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. You've been pressing in, you've been standing on that promise that you've got everything you need for a godly life, making every effort to move bit by bit, perseverance, self-control, to be productive and fruitful or useful. And then today, the verse that Chris has asked me to speak on is this thing: do these things and you will never fall away. And we can just go to the blank slide now. And I want to tell you a story that happened. It's a story, it's about 10 years old now, but it's quite funny and it illustrates a good point. And although we like to have fresh testimony, I thought it was worth sharing because it involves people that you know and it's part of the sort of some of the history really of the church. And I don't think it's been told that recently. So in as you know, I've been in Bristol, as you heard, sort of on and off for quite a long time. And in 2004, I was actually in London, like on a placement. I'm a doctor, so I was working at a hospital up there. And during that time, Silas had been on a conference in the United States, which was really where sort of Living Free came from. So I returned from my year in London and came back to Hope. And several of us then from Hope, because I'd been at a church in London that was involved in Living Free and Freedom Prayer, so I'd been learning some of that. Silas had been sort of practicing at home with his family. And so Annie and myself, Chris and Alice, Ben Watson before he was married, and some other people from the church at the time, we all went to the States to sort of, you know, experience for ourselves what Living Free was all about. And someone told us that, you know, there was these massive conferences, and if you wanted prayer that was really good, you needed to like get right to the front of the queue, because otherwise the prayer line was so long you'd be there like till midnight. Actually, were you there as well? Yeah, Esther was there as well. And so every time we went into like one of the lectures or one of the talks, we all like bagged the front seats. You know, we were so keen. We were like making every effort to do that. And you know, we were learning about, you know, our authority in Christ. The sort of first time I think, you know, some of us had heard about soul ties and curses and these type of things. And you know, and we were desperate. We were really excited, waiting for our turn for like freedom prayer. And we get our freedom prayer. And I think they listed about 7 strongholds for me. But yeah, we're going after all these things. And you know, it was really good. And all of us at the end like had a great time, all of us except Alice knows I'm telling this story, because I know they're not in the room. But so we're on the aeroplane on the way home. So you can put up the next slide, actually, just to show this picture of an aeroplane or seats on an aeroplane. You know how you have like, you might have three seats like by the window, then you have like that sort of chunk in the middle and then another three seats. So some of us were in these three seats, and there was me and Annie, and there was another girl called Sheena, and we were sat there, and Alice was across the aisle. And we were sort of thinking, because Alice was a little bit disappointed because she hadn't really got the breakthrough that she was seeking. So we thought, well, let's just, you know, we've just been learning all this stuff. Like, let's try and, like, put it into practice. You know, like, God's given us everything we need to live a godly life. So it's an overnight flight from America back to Bristol Airport. And we all put those arms up on the seats. And the four of us, me, Annie, Sheena and Alice, we all squashed into the three because we didn't want to make a noise. You know, we're trying to do a bit of freedom prayer on the aeroplane. So we can't do it across the aisle because people might hear, and we're trying to get some breakthrough for Alice here, so it might be a bit personal. So we all put the arms up, and the four of us sat on the three seats just like that by the window. And so we're starting, you know, and we're thinking, okay, so we, you know, say this bit and we bind this and take our authority and come on, you know, what's the thing for Alice that she's missing? And we're da 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 da. And we're just getting somewhere to, like, you know, a bit like personal and a bit kind of meaty. And it goes bing, bing, bing. And it's like seatbelts on, turbulence. So we're like, oh, okay, we really wanted to continue because we're just getting somewhere. But we thought, well, we can't. We're meant to be under authority. You know, this is like the pilot. So we have to, like, all move back to the right seats and put our seatbelts on. Okay, press pause on the freedom prayer. And then yeah, there was a bit of turbulence, and then it stops, and then you're like thinking, okay, any minute it's going to like ping back off and we can crack on. But it didn't. It was ages and ages, and the stewardess walked past me and said, oh, you know, excuse me, is the light going to go off? No, the captain will do it when he's ready. So okay. And then you know, another 5 minutes, 10 minutes. By now, like, particularly me, because I can be a bit more like, come on, let's get cracking, I was getting quite impatient. I thought, maybe the captain's actually just like forgotten, you know, because I mean, maybe you just do the pilot, well, you know, the captain of the pilot of the plane. So the next time, I think we've actually buzzed. I think I actually rang the like stewardess button. And she came by, I was like, do you think he's forgotten? And she's like, of course he hasn't forgotten, madam, you know, like, you know. So she was getting a bit cross, and then I, of course, got a bit cross with like her, and I was like, no, calm down. And then we were sort of getting a little bit irritated, and then someone holier than me says, oh, well, we shouldn't really get cross with the stewardess, she's only doing her job, we need to start blessing her. So then we start blessing the stewardess and blessing her family and da 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 da. And And the funny thing was, as soon as we started blessing her, then the thing pinged off. So then we all, you know, hurried back to our seat. We went back, and the four of us sat in those three chairs. And heard some good stuff for Alice. And actually, it was a good experience. And she actually then got what she had wanted to get out of the conference. And then that would have been a good story. But then what happened is the stewardess came back. I think she thought we were completely crazy. Or one of them came back. I can't remember if it was the same one. And she said, oh, we've got something for you. So I thought, what have you got? I don't know. So all four of us, like, get up. And the rest of the plane's all sleeping. You know, the lights are all off. They're fast asleep. So we troop down to those, that, like, that sort of little, in the middle of the plane, they have, like, a little sort of cabin thing where there's, like, bits of food and stuff, don't they? So she sort of ushered us in because the curtains were pulled. And she said, would you like a glass of champagne? So it's very sweet, like, and she gave us this glass of champagne, and we had free champagne and celebrating like victory and freedom. So I tell you that story because it's funny, but also it's because it illustrates some of the points in the text. You can take the slide off now, Sam, thanks. And you know, we were trying to put into practice this sort of idea of trying to break into the promised land, if you like. We knew we had everything we needed for life and godly living because we'd just been learning about our authority. We had no experience, but we were sort of standing on that promise. And we were trying, just like you've been learning over the last few weeks, you know, to walk with a posture of engagement, and like bit by bit kind of press into the promised land. And you know, and this idea, it's not a one-off, it becomes a lifestyle. And you know, that sort of went on for I think we got back to Bristol, and Silas and Annie asked Chris and Alice and me and Ben Watson to sort of start, you know, leading some of the Living Free stuff here. And honestly, we were just sort of one step ahead. You know, we didn't really know any more than what we just experienced on the plane. But that's what all of us are doing. All of us, bit by bit, we're pressing in with self-control, with perseverance to try and live the, you know, productive and useful life. And anyone that's been part of this church, whether it's a short time or a long time, if it's a long time, you'll have seen it yourself. If it's a short time, you've probably heard it, because I know it's come out in a couple of newsletters, some of the stories about how the church was birthed, things in the prayer center. Like, you're experiencing, miracles, taking little bits of territory for the kingdom all the time. And that's what's exciting when I come back and I hear stories. And that's the big picture level of being part of a church like this, where you can think on that promise. If you do these things, you will not fall. You will not fall away. Like, as a church, as your leadership over many years have been pressing in, the church has that inheritance. You will never fall away. And that's very powerful. And you can put the next slide up, because this reminds you of the vision or the dreams of this church that you're part of, to be a place of continuous prayer and worship. And if you want to know some of how that's evolved, as how these promises have become true, you can talk to Silas and Annie or some of the other people about how the prayer centre and what's developing. And I had the privilege of being here on Tuesday morning. I was on my way to Exeter, and I deviated from London to Exeter. I deviated by Bristol so actually I could get prayed for. And it was amazing to see how many people were here on a Tuesday and to see how that has grown over time. And then your other visions that you know about being a church that children love, being a place of hope for the people on the margins of our community and society, and then to be a thriving community. And those of you that have got stories about worshipping communities and what you're doing in your own lives, that you're seeing all that. And that's why it's so important that we tell each other stories, because it builds faith. And I'll come back to that in a minute. But now, just moving on to a slightly sort of more personal level, you put up the next picture of I think that's the ships, that's where I work, and that's now sort of become my home, with a little cabin and one of those windows there. And I've been there for 4.5 years. I started working with Mercy Ships in January 2012, and I was a consultant in anaesthetics here at the Children's Hospital in Bristol before that. And I felt God asked me to give up my job and go and work with this organisation, who I'd volunteered with a little bit before, just for a few weeks at a time. And I thought I was going to go for like a couple of years. I signed up for 2 years, and in fact it will have been 5 years at the end of this year, and I'm just made the decision that I'm going to finish at the end of 5 years, and I'm going to come back, and I'm going to be working in London. And I was just reflecting on a few of the things where I can see that promise that we're looking at in the scriptures today. If you do these things, you will never fall away. Because it was a big thing for me, it was a big decision. You're earning a salary, you've got a house in Bristol, and then you decide you're going to go and be a volunteer and not earn any money, and you're going to go and live in Africa. And how are you going to finance it? How are you going to support yourself? And you go from a community like this with some great, great friends, and you think, I don't know anyone there, and no one there knows me. I've got no history. And, you know, maybe it's going to be a time where I'm going to, like, dig into the Lord, and I'll just maybe have one friend, or maybe I don't have a friend for 2 years because, you know, it's on the mission field and this and that. And actually, you know, God, it's different times and seasons, but he provided so many friends for me that now thinking about leaving is quite poignant. And I could watch the video and I think, wow, there's people in there, some of whom have left, and that was sad saying goodbye to them. There are other people that are still there and will be there when I leave. So God so provided for me with sort of friends and a spiritual family. As I've tried to follow his word, and his provision is huge. And even with my own family, I have two brothers and therefore some nephews and nieces. And in particular, one brother, the children are now essentially sort of 12, 10 and 8. And so the little 8-year-old, she's 8 actually today. She was, 3 when I left. So she was quite little. And when she heard that I'd got, and they live in London, when she heard that I'd got a new job, she was so excited that Auntie Michelle will be living near like London. She was so excited she went and told her headmistress, who then told my sister-in-law. And what's quite remarkable about that is, even though I come home, I don't see them very often because they're very, very busy. So they live in London near my parents, but I'll like book in and see them like once for a day when I'm home for a month or something. So it was one of those things that I prayed about before I went, that God would preserve my relationships with my nieces. And actually, that's exactly what he's done. The other brother I see a bit more of than those kids, but this family I don't, for a number of reasons. But I was so touched that they were excited I was going to come back, and God had like kept that. And that's what he does, because he is a God that fulfills his word. And I can look back over my journey of the last 5 years, as I'm sure many of you can, and you can see how you've grown personally, professionally, spiritually, emotionally. And one of the things I always know where God's faithfulness, he's always proved it to me in my career and the jobs that he's got for me. So when I gave up my job here, I thought, well, what'll happen when I come back? You know, I have to try and find another job. And it's actually not that easy. I'm a sort of specialist in paediatric anaesthesia. It's not so easy for me just to go and get a job in North Bristol or Exeter or Bath or Cheltenham, because they don't really have specialists there. And a totally miraculous provision that God got me a permanent job at a big children's hospital in London called Great Ormond Street Hospital, and they were prepared to wait like 7 months for me to come back and start the job, which is in my world is fairly phenomenal. So he does provide for us, and when we try and press in and live under the promises of his word, he gives us what we need. And I can remember a while ago thinking, and you probably thought it as well, that I don't need to necessarily learn any more verses from scripture. I just need to live the ones that I know. I don't need to learn them. I just need to live them. And that's really what you're doing here in this passage in 2 Peter. You're living it. You're trying to think, what does it mean to live knowing I've got everything I need for life and godliness? What does it mean to have a posture of engagement and take the land bit by bit? Self-control, perseverance, and then now to stand on this promise that if you do these things, you will never fall away. It's not saying you'll never like fail or sin, because of course you will, of course you will, of course we all make mistakes. That's not what it's saying. It's saying that you'll never fall away. In other words, your relationship with me is secure, and it will stand and cope with all things and circumstances, even when you make wrong choices. And have you got the next slide, please, Sam? What I want you to sort of think about, or the image today, is I like to think of God's promises a bit like a bridge between memory and desire, or between the past and the future, between sort of history, where you've come from, and vision, where you're going. So if you think about it, really, faith is anchored in history. It's, even if you think history as in his story, faith, it's anchored in Jesus Christ. It's anchored in his promises. We know he died and he rose again and is true to his word. We often think I need faith for the future, and you do, but one of the things I'm thinking now actually is faith is rooted in history. And I need hope for the future. I need hope, even in, you know, politics, whatever you think about referendum or whatever. I need hope for the future. You could say faith for the future. It's not like it's a wrong phrase. But I'm thinking it's faith is rooted and it's anchored in the past. It's anchored in the memories that I have. And even in my own life, like that's where the memories that I have with Silas and Annie, Chris and Alice, other people in this church, they go back a long way. So we trust each other and we know it's true. And it's much easier to think the best because we've got history together. And that's why we share stories. Each time you tell a story of faith, it builds something. And one of the things that some of us on the ship have been thinking about is that when we're reaching for something that seems a big thing, so it's a big thing for me to give up my job and live like not earning a salary, or it's a big thing for us to step out, Chris, Alice, Ben Watson and I, to start leading Living Free. It's a big thing. You know, we reach for these things and they seem like that's the biggest step of faith or the leap of faith we can do. And actually, when we reach for it, we do that and then we bring it, and it's almost like that now is the floor and I'm standing on that and I'm reaching again, and everything that's happened becomes the next like building block, and I'm just going up and up and up. So you maybe put up the next sort of picture. I can't quite remember now what I've done in some sort of slides. Yeah, so that's another image of Bristol. And sort of if you think about there, maybe on the right-hand side, all those houses are built up. They're all like those building blocks. They're promises that God has given you that have been fulfilled. They're stories. Some of them might be your own. Some of them might be other people's who you've journeyed with them. And they're building this great anchor of faith. And when we think about how we live by God's promises, it's this bridge that's going over to the other side. It's going over to where actually in that picture, you know, there's not that many buildings on that side of the bridge. Actually, that's maybe it's more of the unknown. And that's where you're building your new future, your new vision. So I think you can think about promises in Scripture as being this bridge between, I like the phrase, between memory and desire. Because we all desire to live in God's will and his plans for us in the future. And maybe if you put up the next slide, some of these kind of phrases, it's memory and desire. It's about moving from history into vision. And that's where original design and God's prophetic words over you are important. And or faith and hope. And just one more word on that. If you go over to the next slide, there's a couple of scriptures which I'll skip through in the last minute or so. You know, God does keep his promises. The verse in Numbers is the verse that says, God is not a man that he should lie. Like none of us can keep our word 100%, even the people that we love most and trust most. You know, things break down, marriages, friendships, etc. We're not perfect, but God is. So he's not like us. He can't lie, and that's what that verse says. And in Psalm 138, it's talking about that God does fulfill his purposes for us, and his purposes are to prosper us and not to harm us. And a couple of the others. I'll just read the one in the one in Kings says. It says, not one word has failed of all the good promises he gave through his servant Moses. You know, God's words, they don't fail. So they are absolutely trustworthy. So if we just move on to the next slide, this is the last one. We'll go back to that picture the one before that. Yeah, the one of the bridge. Because that's the image I want you to have when you think about promises and this promise. If you do these things, you will never fall away. And apply it to other promises that you know, or words that God has spoken over your life, or your original design, or the things that you're pressing into in this series, in your worshiping community, or moving into the promised land, to sort of encourage you that actually God's promises, they are real. If you dare to believe them, they're real. And you won't fail. And think of yourself somewhere on that bridge, you're moving to the unknown. What are your promises that you're hoping for? And what are the things that you know that you know that you know that God has done? How he's proved himself to you? Or if that's difficult for you because you're a new Christian or it's hard to think, then think of some of the stories that you've heard in the church, either stories I've just shared this morning or different things here. Because if you're in doubt, that's why you're part of a church family, and that's why you need to look at the lives of your church leaders like Chris and Alice, Silas and Annie. Look at them and hear their stories, and for the moment, use those as your building blocks until you have some of your own. So I'll leave that with you. And the text for this morning was that if you do these things, you will never fall away. And think of that as that link between memory and faith and desire and vision for the future. I'm going to hand over to Annie, and Alistair has got some things for us.
Thank you so much, Michelle. Good challenging stuff for us. So I think as we worship together, why don't we ask God, unless, you know, if we know already, we can just take hold of it. But why don't we ask God to remind us what the promises are that he has spoken over our lives for whatever situation we're in. So maybe you have people in your family who are unwell and you're holding on for healing, or you're holding on for something, for God to do something in your family through the illness or something. But I think God gives us a promise. He gives us promises for every situation that we're in. So if we're not sure of what we're standing on at the moment, let's, in this time of worship, let's be asking God to just remind us of what it is, or to show us for the first time. And then after the worship, if you can stay to pray, it would be great to either grab somebody that you know and that you would like to pray with, or come up and we'll find somebody to pray with you. And just to, so that you're declaring, this is the promise that I'm standing on. This is what I'm holding out for. This is the hope that I have to see what was behind coming into reality for the future. So we're going to bring it down in prayer together. So ask God for the promises, and then we'll pray together. Hand over to Alistair. Thank you.
Just got a sense that there might be people here who are in this kind of boat, where particularly I think some people who've moved, maybe moved to Bristol recently, or have come, or you've moved in a job or something, and you think you've come and you've responded, and you've responded really well to God's call. In the same way with that story that Mish told at the beginning, was that they enthusiastically got on the plane, and then they wanted to, they had their plan and they wanted to pray for Alice, and then suddenly it's almost like the circumstances round started coming against what they wanted to do. But when it was, when they then started going, oh hang on, let's start blessing the air stewardess, that was when the breakthrough came. And I think often what happens is we hear God and we respond to God and we go, we follow into where we're meant to be, and he's going, yes, yes, yes. But then we can slip back into ourself and try to then determine how God wants, what he wants to do. And I just feel like if there are people in that position where you're feeling a frustration because you're thinking, well, I've done what I thought you said, is actually just to go, to come back. And Mish had a phrase she just given me just now. Great things.
It was just the phrase, great things he has done, greater things he will do.
Thank you. Great things he has done. And God works with us. It's us in partnership. So if it's like, I've come here, but now I don't know what's going on, say, great things you have done, God. You've shown me here. But the greater thing that is to come will be as you surrender whatever your thoughts are about where you're at and any frustrations. And maybe choose something like a verse like, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, in every circumstance you're in, acknowledge him and he will direct the path, which means he will, you will come into the very thing he's called you to be in. So it's almost like you've taken your position and you're going, well, what do I do now? Surrender the frustration, come back and say, Lord, I trust. And can we, what I suggest we do this, is we do this in together with one another. So we pray for one another. If you're a guest here, please turn to, if someone has invited you here as a guest, I think the chances are the person who's invited you knows how to pray with you in this sort of thing. Okay? All right? So let's pray for one another. Alistair, can you just be tucking in behind? Okay. Sorry. If you need to pick up children, you need to pick up children. But this is where, if you're new, this is where we pray for one another. Okay. Let's pray for each other. If you responded particularly to something Mish said, Mish and Annie will be here to pray for you if you've responded particularly to something she said.